right now. I'm 10-0 with the Bears, man. And
yeah, that's Elton Jenkins, who joined us in the offseason here on Mr. Relevant, which is presented by Door County Distillery. It's Bears Week. Packers-Bears Week, the oldest rivalry in the National Football League. We get back at it on Sunday. And I have absolutely no worries. Absolutely none. Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strofe, hanging out with from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue. Dan Tamalaki. Joshy DiMaggio is here as well. Producer Tiny Ants, Hunter Vaughn, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison in the ESPN Madison offices. Thrilled to be with you on this Monday. I talked a lot last week about how I had the bye week EBGBs. I was unable to get my rebound this weekend, but the heartbreak's starting to dwindle. Go away. I've accepted that the Packers lost the way they did to the Lions, and now it is go time in the second half of the NFL season for the Packers, which starts, of course, with the Chicago Bears, who are an embarrassment to football, who absolutely stink. And as Joshy DiMaggio is about to tell you, I was completely wrong about the Chicago Bears this offseason. I thought they would be a playoff team. I thought they would be improved. I thought they would actually be, a pretty decent NFL team. They have been anything but that here through 10 weeks. I was wrong, Joshy.
I got after both you and Gabe in the offseason for this take about how scary the Chicago Bears team was.
I don't know if I used that word.
But it was the best situation ever for a first overall draft pick.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is going to be good. They've got things figured out there. Keenan Allen. They brought in Keenan Allen. Add that to Rome Odunze. The Bears are the Bears. There's a reason they're this bad. They can't develop players. They're run top to bottom poorly. And to get out of the funk that the Bears are in, it's going to take a whole lot more than a draft pick and a couple free agents. This franchise is so far away from relevance. And every minute Matt Eberflus remains the head coach, they are going farther and farther and farther away from being a team that actually matters in football.
Cap and Jay Hood is the morning show. ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago, our sister station down in Chicago. Every Monday, they are the home of the Bears on ESPN 1000. So every Monday, head coach Matt Eberflus joins David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood, Cap and Jay Hood. What happened this morning is so poetic and wonderful and lovely as Matt Eberflus is battling through a horrible cell phone connection as David Kaplan is flat out asking him if he's in crisis mode. You have to hear it to believe it. What we heard this morning on ESPN 1000, this is, you will hear the voice of David Kaplan, a longtime Chicago sports writer, sports media member, and Matt Eberflus, very briefly, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Take a listen to how diabolical and ridiculous this exchange was.
Coach, I asked you this last week that, are you in crisis? And you said, no, we're not. So I ask you again, is this a crisis that's going on right now in Halas Hall?
You know, we're looking at this week and this week only.
Coach?
Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now. Come on, man. I mean, what are we doing? Seriously. Get the man a phone that works.
Get the man a phone that works. Your cell service is as bad as the offense right now. An absolutely ultimate David Kaplan moment. It's a tip of the hat to him, but Bears fans are depressed, and rightfully so. This team stinks. They lost 19-3 to the New England Patriots, who debatably are the worst team in all of football. And they got embarrassed on their home field. Caleb Williams was sacked 9 times yesterday. 9. He underthrew, overthrew, and just completely misthrew about 100 passes yesterday to Bears receivers. They are disgustingly bad. The product that the Chicago Bears attempted to put on the field yesterday might be hands down the worst performance we've seen from any football team in 2024. Yesterday was a complete embarrassment. And I'm going to say it. I feel bad for Bears fans. They finally had hope. I gave them the benefit of the doubt this offseason. I said, yeah, best situation a number one draft pick will ever walk into. That offense is loaded with talent. And they still find ways to suck. They suck. I have absolutely zero doubts the Packers will win on Sunday. Zero. There is a 0% chance that the Packers lose. 0%. And they're on the road. Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Bears. You heard Elgton Jenkins, never lost to the Bears. That streak will continue. This team is stinky doo-doo. They're horrible. Joshy.
I don't know why you would ever feel bad for that. The way they beat a couple of one-win football teams, and it was they've got the ship going the right way. The things have all changed. I don't feel bad for them. This is what you get. You knew keeping Matt Eberflus was a bad idea, but you convinced yourself it wasn't. You knew that Justin Fields' problems weren't just Justin Fields not being good at quarterback. It was things that went way deeper than that. I think Bears fans are in a dangerous spot here because, to be quite frank, the same issues that everyone talked about Caleb Williams as his generational prospect are the ones rearing their head. He does not throw in rhythm. His accuracy when asked to do it is not very good.
Uh-huh.
He's got a very long way to go to be a competent NFL quarterback. He's looked good at stretches, and the offensive line certainly isn't helping him. But the can he work within a system and do things when the athleticism that he had over all those other college athletes evens out in the NFL?
Yeah.
It looks a lot different. There's no escaping the pocket doing pirouettes around there and throwing dimes. That's just not how it works anymore.
No, you're right about that. Before we get to Hunter Vaughn, call them Stinky Doodoo.
Yes.
No, say it.
Stinky Doodoo?
Yeah, call the Bears Stinky Doodoo.
The Bears are Stinky Doodoo.
Thank you very much for the contributions, Joshy DiMaggio. Hunter Vaughn, we go to you.
A few weeks back after their 35-16 win in London over the Bears, over the Jags by the Bears, some of the Bears fans here in the ESPN Madison office were asking, are we getting on the hype train? Are we ready to go? And I got ridiculed because I said that the team was frauds and all they did was beat up on bad teams. I feel so vindicated right now, and I might be projecting because of how terribly run the Cowboys are, but the Bears are a worse run franchise.
I knew the Cowboys were coming up at some point. I knew there was like, going to be a way that the Cowboys were brought up here. Yes.
I mean, I have to. But like it makes the Cowboys look well run with how bad the Bears are right now. It is pathetic. Like they just cannot figure it out. And it's not going to get any better.
Five. No, it's not. Hunter, before we wrap up your thoughts here and we continue to rail on the Bears, call them Stinky Doo-Doo, please.
They're Stinky Doo-Doo. If I could say other words, I would say them because they're that bad.
Yesterday was a disgrace. 19-3 to the Patriots. The Patriots stink. 19-3.
Tell you what, I'd rather have Mac Jones right now.
Mac Jones?
Sorry, Mac Jones. Sorry.
Drake May?
Yes.
Well, Mac Jones did also play yesterday for the Jags. He did.
He didn't too much better than Caleb Williams.
No, he did not. Bears are 4-5. Here are their wins, as Hunter pointed out. They beat the Titans opening week. Titans very bad.
Stinky doo-doo.
Yeah, correct. They beat the Rams week 4, but the Rams' leading receiver in that game was Tutu Atwell.
Uh-huh.
So, gives you an idea of the 6-point win they had over the Rams. That was the beginning of a 3-game winning streak, though, for the Bears. You know who else was in that winning streak? The Carolina Panthers.
Stinky doo-doo.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Stinky doo-doo.
And now have lost 3 in a row to the Commanders, who are good, seemingly. The Arizona Cardinals, who I always refer to as frisky, and it makes Josh uncomfortable. And to wrap up their 3-game losing streak, of course, yesterday. Well, not wrap it up, because it's going to be extended to 4. But they lost, obviously, yesterday, as I mentioned, to the New England Patriots. It is an utter disgrace to professional football with the Chicago Bears did yesterday. 9 times he was sacked, and some of them were his fault. By no means does he have the greatest offensive line in NFL history, but 9 times, yeah. That's offensive.
Yeah, you can do something to help yourself out.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing with Caleb Williams is he was always kind of lauded, if you will, as like a mobile-ish quarterback, right? He can get out of the pocket. He can make plays. He can extend plays. Improvise. None of that on display yesterday. I want to hear this again because this David Kaplan, who is a Bears fan, just is going to do it much better than I will. So one more time this morning, ESPN 1000, David Kaplan, the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus, awkward, hilarious, roll the tape.
Coach, I asked you this last week that are you in crisis? And you said, no, we're not. So I ask you again, is this a crisis that's going on right now in Hallis Hall?
You know, we're looking at this week and this week only.
Coach?
Hello?
Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now. Come on, man. What are we doing? Seriously. Get the man a phone that works.
Get the man a phone that works. You can just hear the frustration and desperation in the voice of David Kaplan there. Hunter, go ahead.
Because I need to know, is there any scenario the two of you see where the Bears somehow win this game?
Like Malik Willis would win this game by 3 touchdowns.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, could Malik Willis go out there and win this game for the Packers?
Yes.
I said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy that I think the Packers could play 10-man football against their 11 and still win.
That's disrespectful.
It but might you're not be 10-on-10 football if DJ Moore's out there, too, because he's just quitting all over the field.
That was a good pop by Joshy. If Malik Willis is the quarterback, I still think they win by double digits. The other part of that, too, Rashawn Gary is going to look like the defensive player of the year on Sunday.
Imagine what Jeff Hafley's going to bring in terms of pressure for a rookie quarterback.
I think back to that Titans game for the Packers, because I think they had 8 sacks in that game against Will Levis in Nashville. I think that was week 3 or week 4 of the season. It's going to look like that on Sunday.
Yeah. Jeff Hafley, cover the short middle of the field, because that's all they really got.
Rashawn Gary's been bad this year, and we will get the stock up, stock down at the midway point of the season, coming off of the bye week here in just a couple of minutes. But Rashawn Gary's been maybe. I think Rashawn Gary's been the biggest disappointment on the Packers this year. I think that is probably a definitive statement. There's a few other options. I think Lucas Van Ness being one of them. But obviously that entire defensive line's been pretty rough since this transition to the Jeff Hafley defense, which overall has been a success. Rashawn Gary legitimately might double his sack total in the first half on Sunday.
He's known to get him at 3 at a time.
Sunday might be a 3-sack game for him. The way Caleb Williams went down 9 times yesterday. 9. You don't get sacked 9 times in the NFL. I mean, Joshy, I am 6'3", a buck 70. I'm a scrawny flagpole.
Don't do this.
Oh, no.
I could play offensive line as well as the Bears did yesterday.
No. Why do you do these things?
Yeah. I mean, look, I would get murdered.
I haven't gotten into a 3-point stance in 20 years.
You played center, right?
I played center. I played guard. Played nose tackle, 3 technique. I played all up and down both sides of the line. I bet if you tried to block me, I could throw you no less than 5 feet. And I haven't been working out in an NFL locker room.
Come in here. Let's give it a try.
I'd get fired. I'd throw you through the window.
Man. They are horrible. Horrible.
Was the Bears' embarrassing performance as embarrassing as the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers?
I actually did not watch the Jets game yesterday, so I don't know what they did. I mean, I assume they lost.
They got embarrassed.
By who?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Uh-oh. The frisky Cardinals?
Yes.
Final score. I'm looking at it for the first time right now. 31-6.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And they took their foot off the gas. Clayton Toon iced the game against Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers, because they were getting manhandled so bad. They had no answers.
Devontae Adams targeted, have you seen this number?
Oh, yeah.
13 times.
Uh-huh.
6 catches, 31 yards.
Aaron Rodgers didn't complete a pass that traveled through the air more than 7 yards.
Wow. Oof. Oof-ta. So to answer your question, which is more embarrassing? The Bears. I think they were more like, that's really bad.
People were saying dream team for the Jets. They put up 6 points.
It's true.
Cooper Rush put up six points.
He sure did. Intern Will, who has been sitting in on our show the last couple months, is a Chicago Bears fan.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad for him. He's been sitting back there smiling at me as I call his favorite sports team Stinky Doo-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the most unserious insult I could give. And Intern Will is smiling like he just won the freaking lottery. I mean, how sad of a state do Bears fans operate in? This is embarrassing, Will. Will, you should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't be smiling. This isn't funny. Your football team is a disaster. one I've never had to live through. Yeah, pull him up to the mic. Let's have intern Will crack the mic. First time ever on Mr. Irrelevant. Intern Will, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to say whatever you'd like, FCC approved, whatever you would like about the state of the Chicago Bears. We welcome intern Will to Mr. Relevant. Your time starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm not going to need 30 seconds because there's just not enough to say that I can fit in the 30 seconds that will do it justice. They need to fire everybody. Eberflus gone. It's a shame. It is a crime that he has not been fired already alongside Shane Waldron. They are the worst part. This is my least favorite part, is that they roll Caleb Williams out there for the last 2 minutes and he just gets killed out there. Absolutely mauled for no reason. We already lost the game. The Patriots had 16 sacks coming into today or yesterday. Okay, sorry. Can I finish that point, though?
Finish the point.
They had 16 sacks coming into yesterday's game through 9 games, and then they had 9 in one game. They were like fourth last in the NFL.
Yeah, no, right now I'm 10-0 with the Bears, man. And
there's Elgton Jenkins, Packers left guard.
The reason I'm smiling is because I'm happy that you are bringing them down.
Decimating them? Yeah.
I'm done. I'm tired.
So are you going to watch on Sunday?
I'm not. I don't like watching football anymore. I didn't watch the 3 o'clock slate yesterday. I went to Costco. Yeah.
You went grocery shopping.
For the first time in probably 2 years, I did not watch the 3 o'clock
I thought you were going to say for the first time in 2 years, I went grocery shopping.
No.
Okay. You okay?
I'm doing better now. That felt really good to get it off my chest. And to hear David Kaplan kind of go off was awesome, too.
Yes, it was.
I really, that made my day, honestly.
All right, really well done by intern Will there. Thank you, Will. Appreciate your contributions. Oh, man, that was good stuff. Brett chimes in, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Has anybody heard from Jim Rutledge? The answer is nobody. Will join us later this week to preview Packers-Bears. We will hear from Jim Rutledge this week on this program. Our resident Bears fan, obviously, maybe not obviously for people that are new to the show. I used to produce Jim Rutledge for several years on ESPN Madison when I lived in Madison. Good friend of mine. I have no idea how he's going to spin this because Jim Rutledge, I give him credit for this. This is serious. I give him credit. He is unbelievable at spinning stuff.
Yeah.
He's so good at it.
So
typically, what I noticed producing for him three football seasons I worked with him, if the Bears would lose on Sunday and the Packers would win on Sunday, saying they played different games, right? He'd find a way to start the show Monday by negatively shining light on the Packers, right? They could win by 30. It wasn't good enough for Jim Rutledge, but Justin Fields just threw 4 interceptions. And he would go without mentioning Justin Fields threw 4 interceptions and the Bears lost. He would just nitpick the Packers' win. He was very good at it.
There's no one that can get put through the spin cycle like none other.
Oh, and I do. Yeah.
I do it here all the time.
Yeah, you're very good at it. Rutledge is going to put me in a spin cycle. Inter Will just walked out.
Yeah.
He's calling it a day.
He's got class.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought he was like, all right, I get a little time to shine on Mr. Relevant. Peace out. I'm good. Yeah, no, I'll get put through the spin cycle. I think Friday is going to join us, but I have not confirmed
that
yet.
I'll be here to help. Jim and I have gotten into some good arguments.
I intend to see one this week between the two of you.
It is whatever, though. Jim likes to, you know, it's kind of what the... I'll give Jim the credit of this. He's better than most Bears fans because he'll just openly say they suck, they're no good,
yeah. And
they're poorly run. Well, people will try and find the margins. Right now, it doesn't seem like the Bears fans are really trying to find the margins anymore. Like, it's kind of just hopeless, which is a sort of a bald face for the franchise. Like, they're in a state now where it's as bad as it's been with a situation that was as good as it should have, like, as good as you could have imagined.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Also, do you think maybe...
Uh-oh, here we go.
Think maybe...
This will be good.
The offensive line is in utter disarray. They can't block Jack. You think maybe if you're trying to build a team, an offensive lineman for your number one overall pick would have been a good use of that instead of Roma Dunze, who, while seems to be a pretty good player, but isn't protecting your franchise sort of the whole thing?
Yeah, that would be accurate.
Okay.
And though, I mean... The way they are playing now, they might have a top five pick.
The 4 wins makes it tough because, I mean, the Jags quit.
The Jags are bad. The Titans are really bad.
When I say the Jags quit, no, they're putting Trevor Lawrence with some sketchy injury and just telling him don't play anymore.
Right.
They've quit. They've told you. Doug Peterson's fired already.
I was just about to ask. Who's the next head coach fired?
I think it's Doug Peterson.
I think so, too. But I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
I think the Bears are just riding it out.
They might be. Eberflus might see the end of the year. But those are your next two options.
I think the problem is the
McCarthy.
The loss. Yeah, who knows?
Hunter? Well, it's for both Eberflus and McCarthy. Like, you're not really gaining much at this point by going midseason fire when you have no one
right,
on your staff.
Because nobody on the staff's.
Yeah,
right. Nobody's winning that job.
So, like, if you can't hire anybody until after week 18, just fire them week 18 when it's done, and then you're right there in the mix with everybody else to hire a new head coach. So
Ben Johnson is going to be the head coach of the Cowboys. Bears fans are holding out hope. It's Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Lions. They're holding out hope. He's going to be the Bears head coach. He's going to be the Cowboys head coach.
I'm interested in where he actually ends up.
He didn't leave this offseason. He had the opportunity to.
And he refused to go to Washington.
Right.
Where he didn't trust ownership, which he had reason to, and he didn't trust the structure.
So maybe there. But when you look at the other two teams we're referencing, Chicago and Dallas.
Right.
There's some ownership issues in both of those cities.
Is there somewhere else maybe that he would find more appealing? Because let's be honest, the Jerry Jones experiment is not one anyone really wants to get into either.
Accurate statement.
Mike McCarthy was hired there.
There's some conspiracy theories that maybe this could be Jerry's last year running the team. That's deep levels of Reddit and Twitter and cowboy fandom. But I'm just saying,
you just told me so much. You're at the point of the season where we're looking for any sort of rumor and conjecture.
Well, 34-6 to the Eagles yesterday.
I saw Cooper Rush throw for 42 yards or whatever. I turned that game off at halftime. Like, I get where Bears fans come from, especially when you get to a level of frustration because your entire organization is so inept for so many years that, like, you just have to, like Jim does to the Packers, find any reason to be negative towards them. Because you're like, this is what I got, man. If I'm going to watch the NFL on Sundays, this is what it is for me. I have nothing else.
With it being the Packers bye week, I didn't watch a ton of football yesterday. I watched the Sunday night game, which was disappointing. Lions come back and beat the Texans. But that was about it. I watched a little bit of that Steelers-Commanders game. So this is like the first week I haven't been hardcore watching every game because it was my bye week too, right? I didn't have a Green Bay game day yesterday. So I was out and about. I was hitting the town. I was doing a mini golf bar crawl yesterday in downtown Milwaukee. The longest pass completed in that for the Cowboys against the Eagles... 10 yards to Jake Ferguson. This is the longest pass completed. Cooper Rush finished with 45 yards passing. Trey Lance only threw six times, 21 yards. Wow.
Why did Trey Lance play?
Because they were down by 30
and what was
points.
Cooper Rush doing? Like, what is playing Cooper Rush at this point anymore do for the Cowboys? Like, Trey Lance, at least maybe you see some sort of a flash, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe there's something actually there. So at least play him. But no, we're going to go Cooper Rush. Ugh.
Joshy, it ain't so bad being us. I mean,
I hate
being
it so
Packers
much.
Fans. Yeah, we've now heard from a Bears fan and a Cowboys fan. Yeah. Life is hell at the bottom of the standings, man. It ain't so bad being us.
And as much as at times I really get after the Packers for the community owned, even though they don't act in service of the community and charge more prices and all that stuff.
Here we go.
Not being run by an egomaniac or one or two people at the top, be it the Bears and the McCaskies or Jerry Jones, or we mentioned the Commies who had to sell their team to become relevant again. Like, it really does work in the Packers' advantage. They might not have the guy who says, let's go out and make this trade and really go for it all. But the Packers are consistently good because they aren't at the whims of a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't Woody Johnson saying, sometimes you shouldn't think. So you go out and acquire Davante Adams with a team that's as dead as any team's ever been before.
Oh, man.
Like... That's really one of the major differences. It's either the owners are hands off and let the team be run the way it should be, or They're completely meddlesome, and it seems like about half of them.
Like, have you guys ever, in your time being fans of the Packers, had to think about the fact that the sun shines into your stadium, and for 15 years of having that stadium, they don't have blinds or shutters or anything to block out the sun from blinding your players? That's what I have to deal with every single week. And I chose this. I'm stuck. Literally, when I got married to my wife, one of the things the pastor talked about is the fact that I've committed to the Cowboys, and I need to have that level of, through whatever happens, you got to stick with them. That was literally when I got married. Anytime I watch that back, I have to be reminded of the fact that I'm a Cowboys fan now, and this is what I have to deal with. This is why I get so bitter and angry at Packer fans. You don't know what this is like.
No, I don't. I don't at all. And I'm happy to admit that. You know, the best part is we do have another member of our crew sitting in the studio. That is Maddie Hayes, our social media extraordinaire. She's a Browns fan, so she's just shaking her head at me right now. Bears fans, Cowboys fans, Browns fans. Joshy, life ain't so bad being us. Got to tell you about my friends over at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. Made locally in beautiful Door County. It's whiskey season for me, man. That single malt whiskey, 27-time gold medal award winner. Their bourbon is terrific. Had a little bit of that. On Saturday night, rums, brandies, gins, vodkas made with local Door County cherries. Ooh, baby. Elevate your experience. Tailgate, party, gathering, whatever you got going on, elevate it with Door County Distillery, doorcountydistillery.com. All right.
Quick throw-in.
Yeah, quick throw-in. Go ahead.
You mentioned the Browns.
Yeah.
The team struggling the most in Wisconsin right now, the Browns and the Bucks, they share something in common.
Yeah, the answer is Jimmy Haslam. We will get to the Bucks coming up after our break. Also got to get to a bunch of Packers stuff as we get ready to tip off, if you will, kick off the second half of the NFL season for the Packers coming off the bye week. We have our weekly stock up, stock down at the midway point of the season. Want to preview a little bit of the... I want to see where the fan base is at. So me and Joshua will have a little conversation. Where are we at entering the second half of the year? Well, we'll get to that. We will also talk a little Milwaukee Bucks. They fall to 2-8 following a loss to the Boston Celtics last night. Eighth of the way through the season. Not looking very good. We will talk a little Bucks, and we will wrap up the show with what we learned, as we always do. But first, we step aside for 60 seconds to hear from our friends at Door County Distillery right here on Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. Fall is here, and once again, it has me asking the question, where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to the great Liberty Station off the Beltline in Madison. Let's go into Liberty Station. Always a good time to enjoy a Door County Distillery Old Fashioned, made with the delicious cherry brandy, which of course is infused with famous cherries from Door County. Whether you're making an Old Fashioned, just splashing in some lemon or lime juice, or just mixing it with a soda, nothing better than the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. You can enjoy it everywhere, whether it's a tailgate, a holiday gathering, or you're sitting out at the patio right here at Liberty Station. Do it right with the Door County Distillery Cherry Brandy. Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Yeah, DoorCountyDistillery.com is the place to be. All right, let's talk Packers. Second half of the season, of course, gets underway. Sunday against the stinky doo-doo Chicago Bears. I got to stop calling them that. Joshy, stinky doo-doo, I could probably do better than that.
Yeah. I mean, I just did call a line poopy pants on the internet, too, so I'm not far away.
Who'd you call poopy pants in
that? The James Houston, who had the stain on his butt.
Yeah, satin Gatorade.
Satin Gatorade, poop-colored Gatorade.
And you called them what?
Poopy pants.
You're so immature.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. So as I said, I really don't fear Sunday's game. There are some games on the second half schedule, though, that could be interesting. And the NFC is so good top to bottom. Packers are technically the 7th seed right now at 6-3. They got in at 9-8 last year. It's not happening, 2024. You got to win at least 10, if not maybe 11 games to get in this year. So the Packers, with 8 games remaining, at the very least need to go 4-4, if not 5-3. They've got the Lions, they've got the Vikings, they've got the Bears twice, they've got the Niners, the Dolphins, the Saints, and the Seahawks. Not in that order, but those are the eight games they have left in the second half of the season. Niners are getting better. Christian McCaffrey returns yesterday for them. We'll see the Dolphins tonight. I don't know how much of a threat they will be on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving night, actually. Saints are no good. But after that, man, Vikings are still good. Lions are very good. Seahawks aren't bad. It's going to be a really good litmus test to tell you how good this Packers team is.
Since you were hungover and missed the NFL season schedule, well, you were drinking, actually. You're hungover now. You were drinking. Did you watch the night game?
Last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
That, I felt like up until that point, the Lions were like a near impenetrable force.
Yeah.
Five interceptions in a game that they still somehow managed to win. You could take it one of two ways. Wow, this seems really good. Or, oh, there's some holes here. There's some issues. The Jared Goff stuff we've all talked about forever. If you move him off a spot, make him uncomfortable, he turns into a pumpkin.
Texans did that.
He was a rotten pumpkin. Sam Darnold threw three interceptions. He's pumpkin-fied again himself.
Pumpkin-fied.
He turned into what we all thought he was going to be. There was a nice run in the sun. He looked great.
Yeah.
He was the best, statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the league through like the first quarter of the season.
Yeah.
And now the guy can't stop throwing interceptions. Like, these teams all have holes. The Packers certainly have holes. We spent a lot of time talking about it. But the way both those teams looked, like, if the Texans didn't put together maybe the worst half of football I've seen in years, like, that's an easy victory. There's no reason to lose that game.
No, you're right. The Texans shot themselves in the foot. And to go back to your point on the Packers, of course there's issues, but most of them are pretty self-inflicted, right?
I don't feel like any of the Packers' issues are the fundamental Jordan Love's not good enough. Or
right. Yeah,
like
no.
The one thing that I think is going to remain an issue is the pass rush. If we can
agreed.
Hacksaw our way.
But Sundays they're going to look really good.
They are going to be, yes, they're going to immediately vault towards the top of the statistics of the sacks across the NFL. But I feel as encouraged with a game the Packers didn't even play in, as encouraged as possible.
Yeah.
You still got a ways to go. You got to fight back. But if you just turn the mistakes and cut them in half, you're a way better football team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a football team that can beat any of those teams we watched last yesterday. Any of them.
They can certainly compete with all of them. And, you know, down the stretch, we saw it last year. Jordan Love is the best quarterback in football the second half of the season. Now, is it a guarantee that history repeats itself? Of course not. But can you take a little, let's say, confidence in the idea that things have calmed down for him, that things will slow down for him, that this bye week, he gets back to, hopefully, 100% in terms of the health department. And he can start slowing down on this offense. I would think so. Taking less risks, throwing less bad interceptions. I think he'll still throw interceptions. I don't think he's going to do what he did a year ago, which I think was, wasn't it, 8-game stretch where he threw one?
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see that again. But I think we could see Jordan Love revert back to, oh, okay, that's the potential of a top-5 quarterback in the NFL. I think we'll see more of those moments here in the second half of the season. And Sunday will be a good place to start. He maintains ownership of the Chicago Bears, so it's a good start. All right, let's go to Stock Up, Stock Down. We do this every Monday after Packers game. Stock Up, Stock Down for certain players. Obviously, the Packers did not play yesterday. But I am still intrigued by the evolution of some people, some good, some bad, at the midway point of the season. And before we get to the second half of the season, it's time to take a look at the rearview mirror. Say, hey, that's going well. Or, hey, that's not going so well. Josh, you might be able to guess these. I'm not going to have him guess these. But let's start with Stock Up, and let's start with the head coach, Matt LaFleur. I think what he has done this season is so impressive, specifically the Malik Willis era. But the other part of Matt LaFleur that we have to acknowledge, which I don't think we've given him enough credit for during the season. I think we gave him plenty of credit in the offseason for pulling the trigger on this. But to fire Joe Barry and bring in Jeff Hafley, it's always a risky move to make a coaching change. It is. It's an impossible puzzle, right? It is not easy to win the staffing game. But Matt LaFleur clearly made an upgrade at defensive coordinator this offseason by going from Joe Barry to Jeff Hafley. And while there has been some disappointments for Jeff Hafley in that defense, it has mostly been an improvement through and through. So that deserves credit. What he was able to do when Malik Willis was the starting quarterback, super impressive for a guy that had just arrived at Green Bay and by week two was the starter. And to win football games with Malik Willis as your quarterback, three of them this season, super impressive. Half of your wins have come because Malik Willis commandeered the ship. Impressive. So Matt LaFleur, a slight bump. We knew he was good. I think he proved that he is that good so far this season in the first half. Stock up to the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. Stock down, Jordan Love. I'm not saying this is a huge stock down. I'm not saying I'm not a believer in Jordan Love. But there is at least one game that Jordan Love's mistakes cost the Packers. I view that Detroit game last week as that game. That pick 60 through to Kirby Joseph changed everything about that game and ultimately led to a Lions victory. He's being less cautious with the football, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But to miss 2.5 games and lead the league in interceptions going into this past week is certainly not a great stat for Jordan Love. He's turning the ball over just a bit too much. Still a very good quarterback. Still very glad he's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. But for what the expectations were for a guy that was briefly the highest paid quarterback in all of the NFL, the expectations is to play like one of the best quarterbacks in all of the NFL. I don't think we've seen that version of Jordan Love yet. Could we still? Yes, absolutely. And I actually have faith we will. I think the second half of the season will be big for Love. Like I said before, I don't think we're going to see what we saw a year ago, exactly what we saw a year ago, but I think we could see something close to what we saw a year ago down the stretch, which is when Jordan Love played his best. Hope he can do it again here coming off of the bye week, entering week 11 against the Chicago Bears. Back to stock up. How about the general manager, Brian Gutekunst? He made some gutsy decisions this offseason, which included getting rid of Aaron Jones, bringing in Josh Jacobs, signing Xavier McKinney. This is a team, historically, that does not make big splashes in free agency. Goody went ahead and made some big splashes in free agency, and those two guys are debatably the team's MVP through the midway point of the season, and Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Big splashes there. The draft class, once again, coming through. Look at Evan Williams. Look at Edgerrin Cooper and what they are doing defensively for this new Packers off or defense, rather. Very impressive. So Brian Gutekunst gets a stock up for that. Everybody knows what name is coming next in stock down. We've talked about him already today. It's Rashawn Gary. He got paid big time last season. Still hasn't had a double-digit sack season. Both sacks he has this season, he essentially was untouched. He is not the game wrecker that he was anticipated to be. He was supposed to be the anchor of this defense, and he just hasn't been that. So, we've talked plenty about Rashawn Gary this season, but he is a big stock down so far this year. I mentioned this guy before, Xavier McKinney, huge stock up. Thought he would be a big addition. He's been a huge addition. To help anchor the defensive backfield the way he has, to fit in seamlessly, to being a top, I think it's top three defensive player in terms of interceptions on the season, for a defense that really struggled with turnovers last year and really overall in the Joe Barry regime. They're turning the ball over, and Xavier McKinney is the biggest factor in that. He has been so good. Nobody's throwing it at his direction anymore. People are scared of him. Opposing quarterbacks are afraid of him. Huge addition to the Packers. Xavier McKinney, huge stock up. Stock down, Rich Bisaccia. What does he do besides collect $2 million paychecks? Seriously. The kicking issues were one thing. Obviously, Anders Carlson was a draft pick last year that Bisaccia had heavy influence on. They move on from him. They bring in Braden Narveson. And again, I understand a lot of this is player execution, but you look at the mishaps on special teams, you look at the punt returns, the kick returns, things always go wrong. There is always at least one level of special teams in every game the Packers play that is an utter disappointment. And to me, that falls on the head guy. That falls on Rich Bisaccia. So once again, I ask, what does he do besides collect $2 million paychecks? Joshy.
I'm just glad you and seemingly everyone else are joining my side here, because Rich Bisaccia was brought in to save the special teams that have long plagued the Packers. Uh-huh. There was going to be investment in special teams players, which we've seen happen, and there was going to be using some of the starters more in positions on the special teams that they previously weren't. It has resulted in the Packers moving from one of the worst to just, they're in the bottom five.
Yeah.
And he'll go out there and act all blustery in front of the microphone when he's asked to speak once a week, and nothing will change, and we'll keep blaming players, and we'll keep saying he can only do so much. Huh? Well, he's not doing enough.
No.
That's the simple answer.
That most definitely is. I'm with you on that. So Rich Bisaccia stock down. Final stock up, Josh Jacobs, workhorse, bell cow, stud. Every single synonym of those words can be applied to Josh Jacobs. There were obviously skeptics and non-believers in the move from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs. And I get it, right? Because fandom is personal. It's emotional. I get that you would get attached to a dude like Aaron Jones. He was awesome. He's a great player for the Green Bay Packers. Moving on from him was a bold decision by Brian Gutekunst this offseason. But we all said this is an undeniable upgrade at running back. Josh Jacobs has severely proven that during his tenure as a Packer. Obviously, you never plan for your starting quarterback to go down early in the season, but he did. And Josh Jacobs stepped right up and knocked that thing out of the park. He's been great. He's been great. It's a huge stock up there. Stock down, final stock down, first round picks. Devontae Wyatt, good start to the season. Then he got hurt, and he's still kind of bouncing back. I still hold out hope that he can make a big jump here in year three for him. Quay Walker, meh. Lucas Van Ness, meh. Rashawn Gary, meh. Jordan Morgan, meh. Goody's first round picks outside of Jordan Love and Jair Alexander have been severe disappointments. Severe. And this is an every year thing, it seems now, with Goody's first round picks. I still hold out hope for some of those guys, right? Like, I still think Quay Walker can be a good linebacker. I still think it. We just haven't seen him put it all together still. Eric Stokes, by the way, a name I didn't mention, was benched in the middle of a series two games ago against Jacksonville. I still hold out hope that Jacob Morgan can be something. Right, I mean, it's so early in his development, but he was thrown in there last week against Detroit, and it was not pretty. You're giving me a look.
What was the name you used?
Jacob Morgan.
I don't even know who that is.
Jordan Morgan.
There we go.
Yikes. I went to college with a guy named Jacob Morgan. He played football at Stevens Point.
I know a lot of the roster.
That's not a real person. No. Jordan Morgan, excuse me. Yep, thanks for catching that. You were giving me a stare. I was like, what did I screw up?
I thought maybe I've lost it. Maybe I lost my touch.
Nope, you still got your touch. Jordan Morgan. Jacob Morgan, I believe he was a defensive back for the Stevens Point Pointers. They weren't very good. I think they went 1-8 every year I was there. But I ran into Jacob Morgan at Joe's Bar quite a bit. So that's who I was referring to, not in Stevens Point. Wonder what he's up to these days. Hope he's doing well. Jordan Morgan, no relation. The left guard, / right guard. Played left guard. Did he play right guard? No, he played right guard. Ryan moved over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they moved the more experienced guy.
Yeah. So anyway, first round picks, stock down. As I get one of their names wrong. Stock down to me as well for my roster knowledge. Josh, anybody I missed?
The one stock up, and it's a stock up because of absence, I would say, is Evan Williams.
Yeah, for sure.
Losing Evan Williams on the back end there, which Jesse Nelson tried to spin some weird question about, is it bad, actually, that
the secondary
looked bad?
Yeah, I saw this.
It was so bad and convoluted. Now, it's not simply just because he's missing. It's what the Packers want to do on defense and how that affects where everyone else is playing. Like, there's preferred positions for everyone, and one domino causes about three of them to fall in different places. So I would say that is a stock up just merely because we saw what it looked like without him, and that's not a life we want.
Mm-hmm. Not a life we want. You're right. I also think
Rashid Walker, after having some rough stretches, I feel like he's been playing better. Which is, you know, if we're going really recent here history, I feel encouraged because I was starting to have some doubts about the old left tackle there. And he seems to at least put put those into a place where I don't think he's the best left tackle or ever going to be.
No.
But you can win with that level of left tackle, and you can win at a very high level.
Yes, you can. He's been good.
That's all I really want.
Well, there was obviously the doubts in the preseason because he won that position so fast. Right, Jacob Morgan.
Nice.
Jordan.
I was looking at Jacob Morgan's Facebook. I was trying to see what he was up to. Jordan Morgan was drafted as a left tackle.
Uh-huh.
And there was no competition in training camp for that position. I mean, he locked it up day one, did Rashid Walker. So, yeah, that's really impressive. He's been okay, right? You would like him to cut down on the penalties. But this goes back to what we were saying before, Joshy, which is the self-inflicted wounds are a big issue with this Packers team.
Yes.
Penalties, drop passes, miscommunications. Those have been the biggest struggles we've seen. And the good news is those are the easiest things to clean up. The drop passes are one thing. The penalties are another. Technique, technique, technique. And that's ultimately, I imagine, and I heard Rob Domofsky say this to you this morning, Joshy, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. That's probably a big thing LaFleur is going to be harping on this week when this team returns to practice, this week. So we'll see.
But there's one stock down I have to add as begrudgingly as I must. It's Dontayvion Wicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I still believe.
Leads the league in drops.
Still a believer. Guys still getting a ton of targets for barely even playing out there. But you need to convert more than one of four passes coming your way.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's as simple as this. And maybe it's not. I just hope it is as simple as this, I should say. This is Davante Adams year two. Davante Adams led the league in drops year two.
Sure did.
And he was frustrating as hell. I remember Packers fans wanting to cut him left and right.
Yeah.
Dontayvion Wicks is reminiscent of that era of Davante Adams because the raw talent it jumps off the TV screen at you.
And it's in very much the same way.
Yeah.
Guys typically go away from quarterbacks go away from wide receivers who have drop issues, but it's really hard to when they're just really open. Mm-hmm. And that's the case right now. Jordan's still going there, which credit to him for doing it and not seeing Dontayvion Wicks and going, maybe not. But the guy's open, so he's top 10 in the NFL and getting open.
That highlights an important part about Love, though. And I was talking to with my buddy about this yesterday. Like, his best quality is the short memory.
Yes. Also, sometimes maybe his worst.
Maybe. Yes. Yes. Maybe also that. We've seen more this year than we did last year. But something that's been so impressive about Love since he took over as a starter is the short memory and the faith in guys, right? He's not doing the Aaron Rodgers nonverbal disappointment communication, right? He's hyping his guys up. He's going back to guys after they drop a pass or turn a drop pass into an interception or whatever, right? He goes back to guys. He doesn't lose his cool, calm collectedness ever, which is so important to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And Love is that, despite some of the downs we've seen this year. There's been some ups, but there's been plenty of downs too, and hopefully those get cleaned up here in the second half of the season. All right, I want to get to the Milwaukee Bucks before we get to what we learned, because this is ugly, man. 2-8 for the Milwaukee Bucks, 10 games into the NBA season. They're old, and it's not going to get much better. I was at their win on Thursday, as we talked about a bit on Friday's episode. And then I watched a little bit of their loss to the ultimate loss to the Celtics yesterday. They were winning that entire game. And then the fourth quarter came around and ice cold. Moves are completely necessary, but I don't know what they are. You're kind of hamstrung if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Like, you could attempt to move Damian Lillard, but you're not going to get anything he's worth or get up to what he's worth. You're just not moving Giannis, so we can stop that. You're not doing it now. If they're to do it, it's likely in the offseason. But I don't think they're going to do it ever. This city owes a lot to Giannis. This team owes a lot to Giannis. I just don't think you ever move on from him. But Damian Lillard, wouldn't be surprised if he's not a Buck come the trade deadline. The fundamental issues are the following. Number one, they're getting outshot in terms of the three-point line every game they play in. They just can't shoot threes. Torian Prince and Gary Trent Jr. are fine additions. They can't shoot threes. They move Andre Jackson Jr. to the starting lineup on Thursday, which is great. He's a really good defender. He's a liability offensively. Unless he is turning defense into offense by way of stealing the basketball and getting a fast break layup, Andre Jackson Jr. isn't doing much for you offensively. He's an athletic young player, which the Bucks do not have a lot of, so that's great. But it's not enough to win a championship. It's just not. You still haven't seen the full cast of Dame, Chris, and Giannis because Chris Middleton has yet to play this year. So I get that maybe that's a built-in excuse, but you're already an eighth of the way done with the season. So you can't just chalk it up to that now. You're 6 games under .500 and you're only 10 games in. This is embarrassing for a team that, rightfully so, has serious championship aspirations. But they look like one of the worst teams in basketball, and they have two top 75 players of all time. So it's completely problematic. And I just don't see a great way to fix this with the current roster and everybody you have. Like, Pat Connaughton, nice piece. He's not doing much for you. Gary Trent, I don't know how great of an ad that was. Bobby Portis, I love Bobby. It hasn't been good enough offensively. It hasn't been. So, yeah, when your second or third best three-point shooter on your active roster is Brook Lopez, that's a problem. And I know it took to get to 2-8 to get here, but good Lord, we could have known that before the season. It's problematic. They need to make moves. I just don't know what they are. Hunter, go ahead.
I asked this in the office here at ESPN Madison, and I'm going to ask the two of you. Right now, in their current seasons, which team is worse, the Chicago Bears or the Milwaukee Bucks? Because I am very staunch that it's the Bucks.
Oh. I think I agree. I think it's the Bucks.
What's the Bucks record? 2-8?
2-8.
I mean, that's just barely getting off the mat.
Yeah, it's like an 0-2 start in the NFL. 0-3, maybe.
Yeah, it's
0-2.
It's pretty ugly. I don't claim to be an NBA guy like you do pretend to be.
Yeah, NBA guy. Yeah.
I take my cues from people like Eric Name and
sure.
Gabe
people
Deitzel,
that are much smarter than me, yeah.
Yeah, Justin Garcia, people are close to it. And I've noticed them not feeling so comfortable, and I've also noticed Brian Windhorst going on TV and saying the Bucks have called virtually every team in the NBA to try and figure something out.
Yeah.
And that to me sounds like absolute panic.
Panic mode. Yeah, they're in panic mode.
And as much as, oh, it's 2 games in, if we were to compare it to the NFL season, we're an eighth of the way, da-da-da-da-da. John Horst is sounding the same alarms that our insides are feeling.
Yeah.
A team that is feeling good about where they are isn't calling every other team in the league trying to figure out a way to make trades happen that seem almost impossible to make.
Well, it's a good point by you, but you know, I heard Justin Garcia say this after the loss yesterday. We're probably past the point where you can say, it's early.
Yeah.
We're 10 games in. 2-8 is unacceptable. Now, they do have, but what does this mean for a team that's 2-8? They do have a favorable schedule coming up the next 10, 11 games until they see the Celtics again.
But so let's
they got to go. They got to go 8-2. You know,
I was going to say, well, so you're not going to get it back necessarily in the next 10 games. But who are some of the opponents? Pull up the schedule there.
I have it up. Yeah.
What does the record need to be for you to lay off the panic button?
Well, let me count first before we get to when they play the Celtics next. So they play the Celtics on December 6th. That is the next time they see the Celtics. It's a Friday night game on ESPN. They play 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. They play 11 games between them. Right? And here are some of the names in there. Pistons, twice. Bulls. Hawks, twice. No, Hawks once. The Hornets, twice. Right? So there are bad teams in there.
Yeah.
For me to lay off the panic button, they're 2-8. 10 plus 11 is 21. So.
Good math.
Thank you. 7-4.
I was going to say.
8-3.
Anything less than 7 wins feels like.
Yeah, if they go 6-5, I mean, that makes them what?
What's 6 plus 2?
8. And 8 plus 5 is 13. So 6-13? No, I did the 8-13. 8-13. Stop making me do math. This isn't
okay,
fun.
So to get off of the math thing, let's say that doesn't go well. Like, I understand that John Horst isn't making the phone call.
Quick timeout. ADHD moment that we talked about on Friday. In the 3rd Street Market Hall, there's a table directly left of me, right? Just outside our studio. And there's a dude on the phone right now, but his flashlight is on, and it's shining right at me. And I don't think he knows his flashlight is on, and it's very distracting. Sorry, Hunter, go ahead.
As I was saying, the Bucks aren't going to make the phone call, but at what point is Giannis going to ask out? Because I think we are getting very, very close to him asking out. I understand we as a fandom in the state of Wisconsin owe the world to him, but he wants more rings. And it's looking very clear that Bucks are getting that one, and that's all we're getting for the next 50 years. And I'm going to be like my father, thinking back on that one ring that he got to see when he was a teenager with Kareem there. Like, that's what this franchise is starting to look like, and I really think that he's going to ask out if it gets to January and things are like this.
Yeah.
I know people really don't want to wrestle with that because they really like Giannis. He's been done everything he's been asked to. He's been a champion of the city.
I don't want
to
do it.
But
it's your only chance to build for the future, though.
Right, and it's going to become real. Like,
is it not already real?
I'm saying, like, everyone's tossed it out there. It's been the talk of what feels like the past 4 off seasons.
Yes.
Is Giannis going to ask out? But he's going to have every right to do it, especially with the way the NBA is constructed. Those guys ask out, they just get out. And that's how it works.
And that's the thing, too, is, like, I'm at the point where I don't blame him. It's going to suck and it's going to hurt. That, like, oh, I'm going to have these cool, fun Giannis jerseys, like that kind of a thing. Like, I've loved this era of Bucks basketball, but I don't blame him for wanting to go at this point. This organization has not done what they need to do to maintain the level that they got to. Like, he deserves to go and actually try and win championships. He has done everything he needed to earn that right. I don't blame him at all.
Let's play it out like here, though. Even if they end up being a playoff team, what future is he looking at that he could be excited or feel confident in? You have no picks.
No.
You have no young talent.
Not really.
And your team's just going to continue. So, like, what story would you even try and tell Giannis other than... Hopefully,
the built-in excuse of Chris Middleton is likely what you tell Giannis. You can get one more with Chris. Greece.
Right, but is it really one more? I mean, Giannis is smart enough to realize the Chris thing is what it is. He's not going to be able to consistently be out on the court. He hasn't been able to for a long time. That ship sailed. Yeah. They're getting older. They have no assets. The one asset is the one who can say, all right, this is over.
I'm not ready to wrestle with this yet.
Why wouldn't also Dame has no loyalty to Milwaukee?
No.
He could just say, hey, get me out of here.
And I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. If they bring in a younger guard who can play a little bit more defense, you would desperately need 3-point shooting. You just don't have any of it. You get rid of Dame, you lose your best 3-point shooter. Yeah, I hate wrestling with this because it shouldn't look like this.
Isn't that one guy shooting like 80% right now?
That one guy, that was specific. AJ Green.
Yeah, little white guy.
That would be AJ Green. He's having a nice little run here. But
more AJ Green minutes, baby.
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm for anything at this point.
That's a sad state of affairs.
Well, 2-8 is a sad state of affairs. So, all right, we'll talk more Bucks later in the week. We will also continue to preview Packers Bears later in the week. Hey, I had a nice winning weekend on Underdog, underdogfantasy.com. Heck yeah, I did, baby. Just not the picks I gave out on the show.
I was going to say, how'd that fare?
Ofer.
Oafed? Ouch.
Yeah, Friday was rough, but got a nice NBA win on Saturday. Had a couple of NFL wins on Sunday. So not a bad weekend on Underdog for me. I ended up in the green, which is always a good weekend. You can get in on the fun, man. Monday night tonight, get in on the action. Underdog's pick'em game. You look at projections on player stats. You pick higher or lower. You can do anything between 2 players to 8 players. You go all the way up to 8. You're going up to 1,000 times your money an underdog. When you sign up using promo code GOODKARMA right now on the Underdog app and underdogfantasy.com, you get a 50% deposit match and a free pick at sign up. No better time than the present, baby. Elevate your watching experience. Elevate your bank account. Underdog and underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA, GOODKARMA, GOODKARMA at sign up. Get up to a 50% deposit match and a free pick at sign up. All right, we wrap up the show each and every day. Well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, three times a week. It's what we learned. You learn something new every day. We learned something new today. And I learned that Jerry Jones and Brad Nortman are a lot more alike than we knew.
What?
Exactly. Jerry Jones, of course, the owner of the Cowboys and general manager of the Cowboys.
I know where you're going.
Hunter's favorite person. Brad Nortman, one of my dear friends. I work on Kyle Bruston Nortman with him every day, 2 to 5. Brad Nortman.
You think he'd call you a dear friend?
I think so. Yeah, I do.
I think just
he'd say
nice.
A friend. Yeah,
no, he'd say dear friend. He'd say dear friend. You could text him and ask him right now.
Text him.
Yeah, do it. Brad Nortman played 6 years in the NFL. Made a good amount of, good chunk of change. Brad Nortman has a beautiful home. It's huge. It's a gorgeous house. I've been there, Joshy, because we're dear friends. And Brad refuses to hang blinds up. He has black garbage bags taped to his bedroom window. CeeDee Lamb, after yesterday's Cowboys loss, Hunter, blamed not having blinds in AT&T Stadium for the reasoning of why he, I want to say dropped, but he never really touched it. Dropped the touchdown pass that he was open for. He just never really saw it, though, because of the lack of blinds. So Jerry Jones made a joke that they should just tear down the whole stadium and build a new one, given CeeDee Lamb's request. And I think if I told Brad he needs to put blinds in his house, he'd say, we might as well just tear down the house and build a whole new one. So Jerry Jones, Brad Nortman, two peas in a pod. You got a response from Brad Nortman?
Have not heard back yet.
Okay.
See,
I didn't know he put up garbage bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. At least Brad did something. Jerry Jones has had 15 years and does nothing.
Your team CD here.
Oh, absolutely. It's ridiculous. This constantly happens with them. Jerry's like, nah, man, it looks cool. I don't care. I hate that man.
We're back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Of course, you can find the podcast, Mr. Irrelevant, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We do this three times a week, freshly uploaded in your podcast feed about 1:30 each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon. Hunter's here every day. Josh, he's here every day. I'm here every day. Packers, Bears, Bears week, baby. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. Before I say peace, I would like Elton Jenkins to sign us off of today's Mr. Irrelevant, stating his record all time against the Chicago Bears.
You know, right now I'm 10-0 with the Bears, man. And
peace.